outline, we're going to begin reading in verse number 10. It gives us another date for these messages that Haggai the prophet is preaching. In the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, in the 2nd year of Darius, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Ask now the priest concerning the law, saying, If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No. Then said Haggai, If one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, It shall be unclean. Then answered Haggai and said, So is this people. So is this nation before me, saith the Lord. And so is every work of their hands. And that which they offer there is unclean. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Since those days were, when one came to an heap of 20 measures, there were but 10. When one came to the press vat for to draw out 50 vessels out of the press, there were but 20. I smote you with blasting and with mildew and with hail and all the labors of your hands. Yet ye turn not unto me, saith the Lord. Consider now from this day upward, from the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month, even from the day that the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, consider it. Is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, as yet the vine, and the fig tree, and the pomegranate, and the olive tree, hath not brought forth. From this day will I bless you. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer and then get into our message for the Sunday School Hour. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for how you worked in the nation of Israel in the past. And Father, we thank you for how you're working today in our midst. And Father, we just look up to you. We know you have a divine plan, a divine purpose for all that you do. And help us, Lord, to understand the message today that, Father, you are holy and everything you do is holy and just and righteous. But Father, you want us to be a holy people. You want the nation of Israel to be a holy people. That is your plan. That is your calling. And Father, I pray that we would learn the lesson daily in our lives, that we would be holy unto you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at this message. It came on the 4th and 20th day of the 9th month in the 2nd year of Darius. And these messages, there's two, so we're going to consider this one first. And then if you go down to verse 20, it says, Again, the word of the Lord came unto Haggai in the 4th and 20th day of the month, saying. So that's the last message we will be looking at next week. Yes, next week, Lord willing. Do you guys need an outline or did you get it on the way in? Okay. Now, what we need to learn from God's word as a principle that we always know is this. Without obedience, without holiness, we cannot be blessed. You know, most people think that God's going to bless them no matter what, no matter how they live. even if they're not consecrated unto the Lord's work or serving the Lord, they believe that God's going to bless them. And we know the whole, when we read these phrases, remember the whole theme that we looked at in chapter 1 is consider your ways. Remember that? Consider your priorities. And that's basically what God's saying. Again, he's telling them to consider some things. For example, verse 15, he says, I pray you consider from this day and upward. Verse 18, consider now from this day and upward. So God is still having them consider their ways. It's still the message. And he's really having them look back how he worked in their lives. He wanted them to see, remember, 16 years prior they started the work of the Lord, and then they didn't finish it. They laid the foundation. Basically, that's where we're at this morning. We're coming into the time when God's dealing with them, that they had to get back to doing God's work. And this is amazing that we have some very important timelines in God's word. This is December 18th in the second year of King Darius' reign. And isn't it nice when you have a prophet put those specific dates? We have some of that dating throughout the Bible, amen? And it gives us a timeline that's very specific. So there's a renewed call. And he's trying to get the people to behave in a way that pleases God. And that's what this whole thing's about. He says, to be holy. To be holy. And that, remember these questions here. We're going to get into, he's asking the priest, if one bear holy flesh in his skirt, so does that transfer the holiness to everything it touches? What they say? No. So there's a lesson here. But he says, if it's contaminated or defiled, and then it touches everything else, is that defiled? And they said, yes. So there's a message there. And I think we need to learn these messages for our lives today. Let's get into our first point. We know that, obviously, discouragement can set in whenever you're doing God's work. And that's where it's important to see how God has worked in the past and that he could lift us up out of discouragement from his word. Amen. Yes, they were still in danger. God already dealt with that discouragement. We saw that. He challenged them to finish the work. But he wanted to remind them of something so important as we're going to continue God's work. And that is this: the corrupting effect of sin. Sin corrupts, sin defiles, and really there's devastating consequences when we are living in sin. If we're living in disobedience, there are consequences to pay. God cannot bless, whether it's our personal lives or corporately as a church. God cannot bless. So he's trying to get them not to repeat the past. Isn't that what we need to learn? Amen. We don't want to repeat history in the sense of bad history and history that we need to learn from and not repeat it. And that's what he's getting to. So we see, number one, the need for holiness. Now, without going into great details in the Bible, we do know God is holy. I thought of Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, amen? And that's basically the beginning of the message. What does he say? Verse 10, in the 420th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet saying, thus saith what? The Lord of hosts. So he wants them to know this is a holy message from a holy God. This isn't my message, but from God himself. And that's what he's reminding them, that God's message is a message of holiness. Think about all of Israel's background. Since the beginning of their history, remember when God called them out of Egypt, what were the laws designed to teach them? Well, the Bible, if you go back to the book of Leviticus and Numbers, there are chapters, I mean, you can read chapters 5 to 22, Numbers chapters 3 to 7, and you're going to find laws that put a difference between that which is holy and that which is unholy. And that's what God had taught them. I mean, from the inception as a nation, God was teaching them that we need to put a difference between that which is holy and that which is unclean, the clean and the unclean. And so, and then the things that we use for God were not to be used for everyday affairs. And that's kind of the principles that we see. Think about all the instruments of the temple. All of the instruments and tools used by the priests for sacrificing the animals, they were holy unto God. You weren't going to take them out of the temple and go down and use them in your house and then bring them back to the temple. They were holy instruments, holy. They were anointed and separated unto God. They could only be touched by the priest. Remember that? How about the priest's clothing? The garments. Could you imagine trying to take those garments and say, all right, yeah, let's go out and dress up and walk around in our holy garments. Or someone who was not a priest to try to put those on. So, brethren, this was drilled into them. It should be drilled into us, amen, as much as it was unto them. So we know that there were certain foods, dead bodies, human waste, all of that was considered unclean and defiled, and it had to be dealt with in concerning laws. God laid out those laws. I mean, God even laid out the laws of hygiene. Did he not? And so, I guess in that sense, the saying cleanliness is next to godliness. In a sense, we could say, you know, God laid out these laws of, you know, even if you have a disease, you know, you're to be quarantined and until you're clean again. You know, all these different things that God had laid out in the law. We can't go back and read all that, but I'm sure everyone understands the point. This was at the beginning, right after they left Egypt, called the Exodus. And so Haggai, he goes to the priest, amen, who know the laws. And he gives him these questions. And so we see, brethren, number 2, the nature of holiness. not only the need of holiness, we have the nature of holiness. We find it in verses 12 to 14 here of our text. God's going to ask this question, amen? Thus saith the Lord of hosts, God's saying this, ask now the priest, verse 11, concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So we ask this question. Really, the question is this. Is holiness transferable? So, can a person or object that was holy by contact make another thing holy? And this is important to understand. The answer is no. Holiness cannot be transferred or passed on to other people or objects. A person or object cannot make another person or object clean. Not through personal contact. That's the principle. You can't be. That's why salvation is personal. Salvation is individual. You can't just make everyone saved in your family. It's a personal decision. Likewise, holiness is a personal decision. Amen. To be holy unto God, you would want everyone to do that. But the idea is this: religion. Remember how in the New Testament, in the Gospels, how Christ came. He's like, these people are serving me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They clean the outside, but inside they're full of dead men's bones. You know, that's where they were. They were so religious. And that's why Paul could say, he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, concerning the law, he was blameless. You see, you wouldn't see Paul drinking and partying or carousing with women. I mean, this guy was dedicated to keeping the law. But he was lost. See, all that couldn't make him holy. And that's what we're talking about, the same principle here. Religion or ritual, ceremonies, cannot make us holy. And that's, I was dealing with someone this week through that app. I was telling you about the app I'm working on. She's looking to be baptized. And I'm like, okay, well, why do you want to be baptized? And then, because you could tell by the whole gist of the thing that it was apparent that it was for the wrong reasons. And it come down to this: I want to cleanse my sins, and I've done this before, you know. So the idea is, okay, I get baptized, I'm cleansing my sin, and I did this before, I need to do it again. And I, you know, and that, and she had an issue in her life, and I won't go into all the details, but, and then I just laid out, well, baptism is a symbol. Baptism is a picture. What really cleanses us of our sin is the blood of Christ, and we do that by faith. We receive Him. It's not the water and the death, burial, and resurrection. It's a picture of the gospel, and the water can't wash away your sin. I put verses in there about the blood of Jesus washing away our sin. So that's the idea. You know, how many people come to Mass and they take, you know, the ostia and the wine, and they believe they're receiving the blood and body of Jesus and they're saved. That's why, you know, you don't just ask a Catholic, have you ever received Jesus? Oh, yeah, I received Jesus. Because they receive Jesus every time they go to Mass in their minds. And do they believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, they believe in Jesus. But have you been born again? What's that? That's the question to ask. Have you been born again? But you see that? That can't make them holy. That symbolism of the Lord's Supper. Because it's not literally the body and blood of Jesus. When Jesus said, hey, take my flesh and eat it. Drink of my blood. He was standing there saying this. He didn't literally mean, all right, eat my flesh and my blood. He said, do this in remembrance of me. Amen. So how many people are still with this idea of being holy through religion and rituals? And then he asked the second question, verse 13. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. So we ask the question, is defilement transferable? And the question is yes. Brethren, this is just God's word. This is just God's teaching. Defilement can be transferred or passed on to other objects and people. Go to Leviticus. There's just a few verses here. That way, Leviticus 11, 26. Verse 26, chapter 11, down to verse 28. The carcasses of every beast which divideth the hoof and is not cloven-footed and not nor cheweth the cud are unclean unto you, and every one that toucheth them shall be unclean. And whatsoever goeth upon his paws among all manner of beasts that go on all four, those are unclean unto you. Whoso toucheth their carcass shall be unclean until the evening. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes and be unclean until the even. They are unclean unto you. Chapter 22, verses 4 to 7. What man soever of the seed of Aaron is a leper, or hath a running issue, he shall not eat of the holy things until he be clean. And whosoever toucheth anything that is unclean by the dead, or a man whose seed goeth from him, or whosoever toucheth any creeping thing whereby he may be made unclean, or a man of whom he may take uncleanness, whatsoever uncleanness he hath, the soul which hath touched any such shall be unclean until even, and shall not eat of the holy things, unless he wash his flesh with water. And when the sun is down, he shall be clean, and shall afterward eat of the holy things, because it is his food. So these are the principles. We'll not continue reading. So by coming in contact with anything unclean, whether person or thing, the people would themselves be unclean or defiled. And so Haggai is going to apply this to the present situation. Look at verse 14. Then answered Haggai and said, so is this people, so is this nation before me, saith the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and that which they offer there is unclean. So, brethren, here's the problem. They were working on the temple, but that didn't make them holy. In fact, because they were unclean, it wasn't pleasing God, the work they were doing. They were defiling the work. This is the Lord's lesson here So holy work cannot make a person holy, but every work done by a defiled heart is defiled. That's what we're seeing in verse 14. So, you know, that isn't that people want to do penance and things like that, and they think they're going to cancel out their sin. Or pay for the dead, you know. These are things that people have in their mind and how they're going to get clean. And brethren, you know, we have to really be careful that just because we're busy serving God in the church doesn't make us holy. That's the important thing. I think you could be deceived by the devil. We need to be holy because of our relationship with God and our walk with God and our hearts in a personal way. Then the things that we are doing for God are received by Him. On the contrary, we could be wasting, not I didn't say wasting our time, because you are losing your reward, let's put it that way, in the work that you're doing if you're defiled while you're doing it. So I think God was trying to get through to them, because you obviously they started the work again, so they must have had this attitude in their hearts. They must have had this false assumption that, hey, now we're right with God because we're doing this. So he wanted to get to them, get this message to them, that no, that's not going to make you holy. Yes, it was ordained by God, amen? Rebuilding the temple, that's God's work. That's a great work. But because it's a worthy cause doesn't mean it was transferred to the people involved. So they had to get right with God, and that's basically the whole message of this passage is you're going to get right with God on a personal way, and then God's going to bless the work. Amen. God's going to bless the work. So the Lord was trying to teach them, oh yeah, you're going to bring these sacrifices, but the sacrifices are going to be defiled because you are offering them. You're defiled, so I can't receive them. Because impure hearts leads to impure worship. Corrupt hearts leads to corrupt service. Impure motives will lead to defiled results. That's what God said. So it is with my people. I think a good example in life is this. As much, if we're healthy, right, can you just transfer your health to other people because you're around them and you're healthy? Wouldn't that be great? Just hang out with healthy people. But that's not the way it is. But a sick person who has the measles, the chicken pox, the flu virus, countless other viruses or illnesses can make a healthy person sick. I think that's as simple as it gets, amen? This is the physical nature, physical universe. This is how it works, but it also is applied to the spiritual realm. Then we ask the question, well, how could these people's hearts still be unclean or defiled? I mean, look at God definitely worked. We saw chapter 1, he stirred up the people. Amen. They began to get back and put first things first and get back into the work of God. God even told them, man, look what I'm going to do. He gave them a future He gave him the prophecy. Remember, we were looking at that last week. And so how can they still be unclean or defiled? And they chose to follow the Lord. They chose to resume the work. But something still was not right. Maybe in their hearts, they were still not committed to the Lord. Even though they were doing this, their hearts were not in it, as it should have been. Because God, man looketh on the outward appearance, God looks on the heart, amen. Maybe they hadn't fully repented. Maybe they hadn't really sought for forgiveness for their past disobedience and turned completely back to Him. I think that's what God is saying, because He's going to remind them of the past and what just happened. So God's message in this first message is very clear. Holiness was to permeate their lives, and it was to filter out into everyday world, everyday living. Holiness was to influence and guide their actions, their behavior, their relationships. They were to serve the Lord with devoted hearts of purity day in and day out. Commit every part of their lives unto God. So if their condition of their hearts were not right, then they would corrupt that holy work. The future worship, even if they got this temple built, if their hearts weren't right, the future worship and sacrifices would be defiled and unacceptable unto God because of the defilement of the people. Now let's move on to number three, the neglect of holiness. We saw the need, the nature, now the neglect. So God is trying to get them to remember their disobedience. He's saying, consider your disobedience. Verses 15. And now I pray you, consider from this day and upward, from before a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple of the Lord. Remember, he's getting them to go back now. Hey, remember their... consider this, a stone was laid upon a stone in the temple. Your brother? Bobby? I'm sorry. Okay, brother. We'll pray for you right now. Well, we'll continue this lesson. Let's turn that off, son.